We're going to take our Bibles. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 5. I've been preaching on finding freedom. Every time I think I'm through, God places something else on my heart. I think I've got one more message and I'll be finished up. But anyway, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to talk to you about freedom from doubt. Freedom from doubt. Now, I believe there's a great difference between assumption and assurance. When you assume something, you suppose a thing without proof. But when you have assurance, that means there's no room for doubt. No room for doubt. Now, assumption can get us in trouble. This was in, years ago, it was in the Atlanta Journal. I cut it out of the Atlanta Journal. This was what it said. It said, a single black female seeks male companionship. Ethnicity, unimportant. I'm a very good-looking girl who loves, in capital letters, to play. I love long walks in the woods, riding in your pickup truck, hunting, camping, and fishing trips. Cozy winter nights, lying by the fire. Candlelight dinners will have me eating out of your hand. Rub me the right way and watch me respond. I'll be at the front door when you get home from work, wearing only what nature gave me. Kiss me, and I'm yours. Call, and it gives the number. Some of you like the number. And ask for Daisy. Now listen, over 15,000 men found themselves talking to the Atlanta Humane Society about an 8-week-old black Labrador retriever. Now, assumption gets us in trouble. It always will. A salesman pulls up at a country store. He sees the old farmer sitting on the porch of the country store and a dog lying at his feet. And the salesman says to the old farmer, "Does your dog bite?" Old farmer says, "Nope." He makes his way on up to the porch. About that time, the dog ferociously attacks him, bites his legs. I mean, he finally beats the dog off. And he says to that old farmer, "I thought you said your dog didn't bite." The old farmer said, "That ain't my dog." See, when we assume, we get in trouble. There's a great difference between assumption and assurance. Now, the foundation of this message comes from a quote by D.L. Moody. This is what D.L. Moody said. He said, "I've never known anyone who was good in the service of Christ who did not, first of all, have the assurance of his or her salvation." I've never known anyone who was good in the service of Christ, who first of all didn't have the assurance of his or her salvation. I remember years ago being in a hospital in Macon, Georgia. There was a lady going to have brain surgery. I knew the lady was a committed Christian. I knew she had a deep love for the Lord. And I was going to pray with her before the surgery. And she said to me, she said, "Pastor Benny, before I have this surgery," she said, "I've got a struggle." I said, "Tell me about your struggle." This godly, wonderful lady, she said, "I worry if I'm right with God. I worry if I'm right with God." And I thought, my goodness, you're such a good Christian. You're such a good Christian. And I realized something, folks. This whole issue of freedom from doubt, it's something that a lot of people battle. Now, let me make two quick observations. Observation number one is this. Doubt will happen in the life of every Christian. Doubt will happen in the life of every Christian. Now, I want you to see something in 1 John 5 and 13. Look what it says, folks. Why was this book, 1 John, written? Well, he tells us, these things have I written unto you, John said, that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, wait. It wasn't written to people that are lost. It was written to people that believe on the name of the Son of God. So he wrote it to people that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, why did he write it to the people that believe on the name of the Son of God? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. He said this book was written so you can have freedom from doubt. Because doubt will happen in the life of every Christian. Mother Teresa, a devout lady. After Mother Teresa died, they found some of her writings. And this is what Mother Teresa said in her writings. She doubted God's existence. There was a time. She said, "What do I labor for? If there be no God, there can be no soul. If there is no soul, then Jesus, you also are not true." See, doubt will happen in the life of every Christian because there's three groups of people. Those that have doubted, those that will doubt, and those that are brain dead. Because doubt will happen in the life of every Christian. Because you got to understand something. You say, "Pastor Benny, doubt's the opposite of faith." No, it's not. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Doubt is when I have faith, but I struggle in my faith. I have faith, but I struggle in my faith. You say, "Pastor Benny, have you doubted? Have you doubted?" Yes, I have. Sure, I have. Because here's what I know. Doubt will happen in the life of every believer. But there's a second thing I want you to see. Doubt is from the enemy. Doubt is from the enemy. Because doubt, the enemy wants to keep you constantly doubting. Because just like D.L. Moody said, "I've never known anyone who was good in the service of the Lord who didn't have assurance of his or her salvation." Now, I can prove to you that doubt's from the enemy. Because look what Genesis 3 says. "Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman," this is not the message, but this came to my mind as I was preaching earlier. Let me tell you something. The woman got in trouble when she started having a conversation with a snake. And ladies, let me tell you something. If you talk with snakes, you're going to get in trouble. Yeah. If you hang out with snakes, you're going to get in trouble. You need to put that snake on the road. You don't need that snake. You're better than that snake. You're better than that snake. Let me tell you something. You said, "Brother Benny, I don't know who I should date." I'll tell you who you ought to date. If he or her don't love Jesus more than you do, you don't need them. That's a good word right there. All right. Now look. "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree." Now wait. That snake said, wait, Eve. Is that really what God said? What was he doing? He was creating doubt. He's creating doubt. And that's what the enemy does. Doubt comes from the enemy. Now, here's what I want you to understand. This guy, John, that we're reading about, he wrote the book of John, which was about the life of Christ. That was about Jesus and the past life. He actually was the guy who wrote the book of Revelation. I said, some of you went to the Isle of Patmos with me. And we was there on Patmos where John received this revelation and received the book of Revelation. So he wrote the book of the future. But he wrote a book for our present, and it's 1 John. And get this, folks. This book was written that we may know that we have eternal life. Now, here's what I want you to understand. If he said 1 John was written to give you assurance, the answer for our assurance is found in 1 John. Because he said that's why the book was written. No other reason. So you got to look in 1 John to get your assurance and freedom from doubt. Now let me give you four proofs. They're all in 1 John. First of all, the confession proof. Look what 1 John 5:1 says. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, I want to camp just here just a minute, but I want you to see something. Not whosoever is baptized. Not whosoever is a good person. The only good thing that's going to be in hell is that good man or woman that didn't accept Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm a Pastor Benny. I'd go to church if they weren't so many hypocrites. That's a cop-out. You go to Walmart and it's full of hypocrites. You go to the Braves game and it's full of hypocrites. You go everywhere else with hypocrites. What's wrong with going to church with them? It's just a cop-out. And it's not going to change the fact that one day you're going to stand before God. And let me tell you something. If the hypocrite's between you and God, the hypocrite's closer to God than you are. You're welcome. All right, let's move. Look, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now here's what I want you to understand, folks. If you study the Bible over and over, not one place does it say whosoever hath believed. It's never in past tense. It's never, it's whosoever believes or believeth. It's never in past tense. See, when I was 16, I had this experience with God. I can take you to the place in Hubbard's Cove, Tennessee, where I knelt down beside of a couch. And I gave my life to Christ. I can take you that way. But you know my wife cannot take you to the place where she accepted the Lord. She can't tell you the exact time. You say, well, Pastor Benny, no, she must not be saved. No. No, very much. Here's what I want you to understand, folks. Never proof of salvation is because you can take somebody back to the time and place. That's never biblical that's proof of your salvation. You say, well, but Brother Benny, how do I know? Well, let me explain. I heard about this guy who goes to the doctor and he says, I can't remember anything. And the doctor says, well, sit down and tell me about it. And the guy says, tell you about what? Well, listen. You say, well, Pastor Benny, how do I know that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Here's how you know. It's not because you can trace it back to a moment of time. It's because you're believing on Him today for salvation. It's because you're believing. That's why it says, whosoever believes or whosoever believeth. It's the confession proof. How you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you've had an experience with Christ and you're believing on Him today is because you've believed on Him in the past. An indication that you've believed on Him in the past is you're believing on Him today. It's kind of like the story of Will Rogers. Will goes and gets a passport. And they say to Will, we need to see your birth certificate. And Will says, I don't have one. He said, why do you need it? They said, we need proof of your birth. He said, I'm here. Isn't that proof enough? Well, the fact that you're believing on Christ today is proof enough. See, there's the confession proof, but I want you to see something else right hurriedly. There's the contrast proof. The contrast proof. Look what 1 John says. 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. See, here's the catcher. When you come to know Christ, there'll be a contrast. It matters not, folks, if you have a child of Christ experience or if you have a crime to Christ experience. If you'll notice, they will be a contrast. When I gave my life to Christ, See, Benny, what was your motivation? I'll tell you my motivation. First of all, I saw my sister got saved. And I noticed my sister started reading her Bible all the time. And I knew that wasn't normal for Rhonda to read her Bible. But she started reading her Bible. And then my mother. I remember the Saturday morning seeing my mother get out of a red Thunderbird. And her countenance was different. Mama looked different. Mama acted different. Let me tell you, my mother wasn't perfect, and she's still far from it. But I noticed Mama wasn't going to the places at night that Mama had gone before. And I noticed Mama wasn't doing the things that she had done before. And I knew my mother wasn't perfect. But I said, something different. Something's happened to Mama. I don't know. I don't know what's happened, but something's happened. And friend, let me tell you something. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away and all things become new. When we come to know Christ, there's a change in us. There used to be an old song that says, there's been a change in me, a change, you see. I'm not the one that I used to be. Folks, there'll be a change when we come to know Christ. Henry Ford said he was running a plant in Detroit. And he said this guy shows up one morning and says to one of his supervisors, I've got an alternator here. I've got a battery here. I've got a muffler here. I've got all these parts. And the supervisor said at Ford Motor Company, what's this about? He said, well, I stole all these parts, but I gave my life to Christ, and I felt like I ought to bring them back. And the supervisor goes to Henry Ford and says, what do you think, Mr. Ford? And Mr. Ford said, I'll tell you what, dam up the Detroit River and let's baptize every employee. And here's what I know, ladies and gentlemen. When we come to know Christ, there's a contrast. But let me tell you something else. When we come to know Christ, not only confession proof, contrast proof, but there's compassion proof. See, the guy who wrote this, you said, Brother Benny, was he always loving? Well, let's look. Look what the Bible says. His name was John. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them like Elijah did? Now, let me explain the text. These guys disagreed with John and James, and they said, Lord, we got an idea. Won't you just bring fire down and let them be well done? Why don't you just bring the fire down and scorch them on the spot? The heat is on. Why don't you just bring it down? It doesn't seem too loving. But I want you to know something. After he came to know Christ, 1 John 3:14, he said, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Let me tell you something. Folks, when you come to know Christ, you love people that you didn't love before. When you come to know Christ, he puts a love in your heart. He puts a love in your heart that wasn't there before. He puts a concern in your heart that wasn't there before. You start loving people that are different from you, that live different lifestyles. See, I believe as Christians, we ought to love people till they ask us why. We love people that are different from us once we come to know Christ. And we love people that look different than we are. We love people that act different than we are. See, let me tell you, I was asked on a few occasions, I was asked, Brother Benny, are you a racist? And I said, no, but to be transparent, I used to be, because I was raised to be. See, that story that I told you about when I got saved, when I knelt beside that couch and I gave my life to Christ, that place where I gave my life to Christ, and that preacher that told me that God loves all people, Black people weren't allowed in that county. In the place where I gave my life to Christ, black people weren't allowed. And folks, I immediately knew that was wrong. That's wrong. Let me tell you what racism is. Racism is when you hate a person because of their race. Racism is when you believe that one race is superior to another race, or one race is inferior. Racism is when you're prejudiced toward another race. Let me tell you something, folks. It's not only sin, it's not only wrong, but it's evil. It's evil. It's evil. There's no way you'll ever convince me that the most segregated hour on Sunday morning ought to be a local church. There's no way. There's no right in that. Because God loves all people. God loves all people. God loves all people. Now, I've got a friend, Dante. Dante's going to come. And Dante and I are a lot different. So, Pastor Benny, how are you different? Well, first of all, Dante has rhythm. I have none. Dante has a good-looking beard. I want to grow a good-looking beard, but I grow a summer beard, some here, some there. But you know, I want you to pray. I'm praying. I've got Dante and Linnell's name in my wallet. I'm praying. Now, Dante's birthday's this week. And Dante and Linnell's anniversary is this week. I'm shocked because I'm going to preach in Mississippi and he's going with me. It just shocks me that he's leaving on his anniversary. But anyway. But if you look at Dante and I, it's obvious I'm more of a bodybuilder than he is. You don't trust. But if you look at Dante and I, the big difference is I'm white, and he's black. We're different. We're different. But you know, I thought about this. I just had this thought. And folks, let me tell you. I could care less. You come up real close. I could care less if you're pink. I could care less if you're purple. None of that matters to me. None of that matters to me. God just loves people. God just loves people. God just loves people. But here's what I know, folks. Here's what I know. God doesn't see me as white. And he doesn't see Dante as black. You say, what does he see? Come here, Dante. When God looks, look here. Come, Dante. Look here. Look here. This is what God sees, folks. I love you, Dante.
Oh, you too, Pastor. I love you.
You know what God sees? He sees the red blood of Jesus Christ, that he's been washed in the blood. I've been washed in the blood. That's what makes us brothers and sisters in Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. How you know, Brother Benny, assurance, God gives you a love for people. God gives you a love for people. Hey, by the way, folks, since I'm just laying all the cards on the table, nobody's in a hurry. Since nobody's in a hurry, I was running up here on the road, and I've got a family member that's in a different lifestyle. And I said, Lord, Christmas is coming, and I don't know about her and her friend coming to my house. I don't know, Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said this, they may not be welcome in your house, but they're welcome in mine. Now, you get what I'm saying, folks. I'm not condoning. I'm not soft on sin, you airhead. But listen, what I am saying, God loves all people. God loves all people no matter what they've done, and God wants to forgive them, and God wants to change their life. And my responsibility is not to judge people. My responsibility is to love people right where they at till they come to Jesus Christ, and then just love them more. That's what we ought to do. Now, let me give you, I've talked too long, but let me give you the last point. How do I know, Pastor Benny? How can I have assurance? Then there's conviction. Conviction proof. Let me explain. Look what 1 John 5 and 4 says. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, you know what that implies, folks? That implies when we come to know Christ, there'll be a struggle. Now, get this down. When you come to know Christ, Romans 8 and 9 says this. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Now, listen to what Ephesians 4 and 30 says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. What does grieve mean? It means to deeply sadden. How many of you have ever done something, you did something you shouldn't have done, and inside you felt terrible after it? Now, listen, everybody's going to raise their hands but the habitual liars. How many have ever done that? Sure we have. You did it, you felt terrible. And you didn't understand why you felt terrible. I'll tell you why. It was the Holy Spirit inside you that was deeply saddened. Was deeply saddened. Because what happens, folks, when you're a child of God and you sin, it deeply saddens the Holy Spirit. So how do you know? I got saved like on a Friday night. And Saturday morning, I'm standing out. My mother had a chicken pen. And I'm out by the chicken pen. And I had a terrible mouth before I got saved. A terrible mouth. And I'm standing out by the chicken pen. And I pop off a couple, three words. And a young man said to me, Benny, I thought you got saved last night. I said, I did. And I'm so sorry about what I just said. And what I didn't realize, I was deeply saddening the Holy Spirit inside of me. And folks, let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, you say, Brother Benny, can I do wrong? Uh-huh. But you can't do wrong, get by with it. No, I tell you, there's been so many times God took me to the woodshed and there was bloodshed. No, you can't do wrong, get by with it. Somebody said, oh, they're doing wrong. Well, friend, let me tell you something. If they know Christ, they're not going to do wrong, get by with it. Because he's going to deal with their heart. I told Barbara the other day, I said, you know, we was talking about TV. And I said, we rarely watch anything. We don't watch much TV. It's just most of it not real good, you know, but I don't watch much TV. But I remember growing up, I watched a guy named Steve McQueen. He was on Wanted, Dead or Alive. As a little boy, I wanted to be like Steve McQueen. But I didn't realize that Steve McQueen lived a real sinful life. In and out of relationships, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of stuff. Lived a rough life. But Steve McQueen started dating this young girl, and she said, I want you to go to church with me. And they're in California, and they go hear John Wesley White preach. And Steve McQueen comes down an aisle and gives his life to Jesus Christ. But after Steve gave his life to Christ, he started having all these doubts. Because he said, I've been in so many relationships. I've taken so many drugs. I've drank so much alcohol. I've been so sinful. How do I know that God's forgiven me? And he called and requested a meeting with Dr. Billy Graham. And he said, Billy, Dr. Graham, I've been so sinful. I don't know that God can forgive me. How do I know that I've been forgiven? Billy Graham took his Bible And he opened it to Titus 1 and 2. And he took out a pen. And he underlined, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And he took that Bible and he gave it to Steve McQueen. And Steve McQueen was in Mexico being treated for cancer when he died. And they found him in a recliner and he had that Bible and it was opened to Titus chapter 1. And his finger was on verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Friend, my assurance, your assurance, is not on the basis of how we feel, but it's on the basis of what God said. And God says we have eternal life, and he cannot lie. And that's our assurance.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.